Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're joined live on the line by Dave Bertola of National Grid. We're looking at the situation in Florida, wondering how utilities are responding, how they were preparing for this storm. Hey, Dave, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Certainly, it's a different set of circumstances. We don't have to deal with hurricanes here in Western New York. But you do have some idea on how utilities prepare for natural disasters like this. What would that preparation have looked like down in Florida?
Thanks for having me on this morning. I appreciate it. Prior to this storm, electric companies in the path of the hurricane had strategically pre-positioned their equipment, their resources, and other workers, in this case, from more than two dozen states, to assist, just to be in position to be ready to assist in the restoration of electricity service once it's safe to do so. A lot of these utilities are part of a group called the Southeastern Electric Exchange. Likewise, National Grid and companies like NYSEG are part of a group called the North Atlantic Mutual Assistance Group. And that group, the latter group that we're a part of, includes 21 companies from the Northeast, so that when there's a major storm planned, we can be called upon, or we could call upon others to pre-position and be ready for just such an emergency. In this instance, those utility companies from the Southeastern Electric Exchange were pre-positioned and didn't need to reach out to other utilities across the country like those up here in the Northeast. But it's not to say that we couldn't get a call at some point with more than 2 million people without electricity service, but at this time we have not been called.
All right. Well, you know, even though the storm has now moved northeast, there are still some pretty difficult conditions along the southwest coast of Florida. When would crews even begin to be able to restore power?
Well, that all depends, and I could speak from obviously this, a scaled down experiences here in Western New York. So when there's ice forming on power lines and heavy winds, and there's thousands of people without service. Depending on the conditions, depending on where some of the equipment might be damaged, people will be deployed safely in order to make sure that they can be out in the field doing the job under the appropriate conditions they'll go out at night. They'll go out when it's really windy or in the rain. They're out there in bad weather all the time. Obviously, I can't speak to what each company is doing precisely at the moment down in the southeast. But there are conditions that will have to be braved in order to restore power. I know that our guys do that. But we're all hoping that everybody's safe and that the workers, the workforce, likewise, will be doing so as safe as possible.
How often are those plans gone over to ensure that the power can be brought back as quickly as possible?
Sure. At National Grid, we take emergency response very seriously. And so we have plans that we implement, and then we will keep an eye on the weather every single day. That's what we do. We come to work every day looking at weather, rain or shine, and we use the information from our forecasts to be able to plan our response. then even after we respond to a storm, there's this constant state of review and updating and improving and to make things more efficient so that the next time we go out, we're always learning and sharing information. And to your question about safety, that's priority. And we want to make sure that not only are our people safe, but our customers are safe, and that if it takes two minutes or 2 hours, we don't want anybody's power to be off, just like you don't want your power to be off. But we're going to do the best. We always do the best we can to make sure that we're returning safe in a safe manner.
Dave, around here, it seems that everything's measured against the October storm when you think about power outages. How vulnerable are we in Western New York to that happening again?
Well, every single day we're out in the field, our field force is always out making investments in we're investing in our substations, our wiring. We are trimming trees back. We're inspecting power poles to make sure that they're safe and not leaning or tipping over. So that eye toward resiliency and that eye toward making sure that when you go home at night and you try to open your garage door, that it opens, that you walk into the kitchen, you turn the light on, the light goes on. Everything we do is geared toward just that every day. And what we do is, as an example, we hosted some people up in Niagara Falls to showcase $80 million worth of investments there to replace equipment that's nearly a hundred years old. A lot of that's still reliable, but we just updated it, modernized it, and improved it. And that's all with an eye toward making sure the 15,000 people who are served off of that infrastructure can continue to be so in a safe, reliable manner.
How up to date are we? Is our grid vulnerable, or are we, equipped with the best technology, the best way of delivering power?
We are always looking ahead at clean, green energy. We know that there's a lot of initiatives to, let's say, convert fleets to electric. There's charging stations. There's solar power that's being used, and so we're always modernizing and we're always upgrading equipment, like I said, to make sure that we have the latest and the greatest. Keep in mind that electricity was first transmitted, right here in Western New York. It came from Niagara Falls, right? And that was back in November 1896. And some of our equipment is just about that old, And we're trying to make our upgrades and invest money to make sure that we're delivering safe, reliable electricity, and that's what we're all about. So I don't like to use terms like vulnerable, because we're always in a mode of change and upgrades and modernization, and that's why we come to work every day.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for the update. Dave Bertola with National Grid.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.